Good morning, everyone. So I once had a Facebook friend. She is a piano teacher, and she recently posted something on Facebook. It was a picture of a piano sheet music that one of her young piano students had done something to. So this young piano student, she took the classical piano sheet music, and then she started to write lyrics underneath each note. And it was a song, and her student was writing about summer and how she hated summer because it's so hot and so sweaty, and she was wondering, "Winter, why don't you come back soon?" So I thought that was pretty cute. I don't know anyone who would prefer winter over summer. I know I personally don't like winter at all, and that's because you have to deal with snow. You have to deal with basically having to shovel your driveway. So I am usually pretty lazy when it comes to shoveling my driveway. I remember like one Saturday I had to come out to church to attend a praise team rehearsal. And my car was in the garage, so I didn't have to push the snow off of it. Opened the garage door, realized I didn't shovel the driveway at all. So I guess put my car in reverse, pushed the gas pedal very hard, and I was able to just like drive over all of that snow and be able to come to church on time for the rehearsal. So I got to church on time, and then after church, I went back home, and I thought, okay, I know there's still a lot of snow in my driveway, and I was able to just drive over it to get out. And by logic, right, I should be able to do the same thing to get back in through the driveway and back into my garage, right? Well, apparently not, because I just pushed on the gas pedal, tried to get back into the garage, and my car got stuck in the middle of my driveway. It was quite unfortunate. No matter what I did, I tried moving forward, it wouldn't budge. I tried moving backwards, it also didn't budge. I was basically stuck. So I think a lot of us may feel the same way about our spiritual lives. We may feel spiritually stuck. You know, we don't feel that we are growing any closer to God, but at the same time, we may not be feeling that we're drifting away from God either. We just seem to be stuck in one place. You know, every time you go to a church, you know, it just seems like something that you have to do every single week. When you go to Sunday school is like so long and I'm not really getting much out of it. When I read the Bible myself, I don't even seem to see God teaching me. There's nothing that is growing inside of me at all. And of course, Pastor Ivan's sermons are so boring, and that's why you don't want to listen to me at all, right? Hopefully not. But the thing is, you are in this condition. You feel that you are stuck. And it feels a little bit hopeless. Maybe for some of you, you question whether you can still be able to hold on to your faith. Or maybe you're questioning about leaving your faith because you're in this spiritually stuck state. You feel like you're very stagnant. But I'm here to tell you that if you are in this condition right now, if you are a Christian and you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you just seem stuck right now, I want to tell you that there is hope. There is hope for change. God invites us to be in a personal relationship with Him. And this relationship is meant to help us to grow closer to Him. This relationship is where we experience God's love, God's forgiveness, and the growth that can happen within us. So God provides us a way for that to happen. And as we look into today's passage, we will definitely see how God teaches us about our spiritual state and how we can grow closer to Him. So if you can you take out your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, and we're going to read all the way to chapter 6, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Just give a little bit of background. The writer of the book of Hebrews is unknown. You know, scholars have made cases that the writer was the Apostle Paul, Apollos, or even Luke. But generally, there hasn't been a great consensus on that. Also, the original recipient of this epistle, of this letter, is also unknown, but we know for a fact that these original readers are Jewish Christians, based off of the contents of this book. So here we have an unknown writer writing to Jewish Christians. Okay, Hebrews chapter 5, starting from verse 11. Please follow along as I read. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instruction about washings, the laying of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Would you bow your heads with me as we approach God and His Word? Dear Heavenly Father, our plea today is that you will open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your law. Our prayer and our plea is that you would also give us the ears to listen and to hear as we see what you have to teach us from this passage. Some of us here today may profess and may proclaim that we are a Christian and that we believe in you. But Lord, I know that many of us, maybe some of us here today, will also feel that we are spiritually stagnant. We're spiritually stuck, not growing closer to you, not really seem to get out of anything when we hear your word. Father, if we are in this condition today, I pray that you will teach us and show us that there can be hope, that you will provide us a way to grow closer to you, because we love you and we know that you love us. And we lift up all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So the main question that we're answering today from this passage is this: what are the necessary steps to grow into spiritual maturity? What are the necessary steps to grow into spiritual maturity? And we will see that there are three steps for this. So there are three steps, necessary steps to grow into spiritual maturity. Let's start from reading from verse 11 again. Chapter 5, verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. So what is this? When the writer says, about this, we have much to say. If you read in the previous section, then you see that the author had started talking about how God had appointed and designated Jesus Christ to be a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So later on, he explains this more fully in chapter 7. But after mentioning this statement, the writer acknowledges and he tells the Jewish Christians that it is hard to explain this to them, because they have become dull of hearing. They've become dull of hearing. But this doesn't mean that they are like deaf and they can't physically hear anything or at all. That would be actually pretty sad if that were the case. But no, we're not talking about a physical deafness. We're talking about a spiritual deafness. The Greek word that's translated as dull can also be translated as slow or lethargic. So it means that these people, these Jewish Christians, are unable to listen and understand God's word due to their lazy attitude. They may hear God's word, but it just goes in one ear and out the other ear. They may hear God's word, but it doesn't actually reach inside their hearts of understanding. But because of this, they have become spiritually stagnant. They become spiritually stuck, and they're not growing into maturity. Let's answer our first question. What are the necessary steps to grow into spiritual maturity? Here is step number one. We need to be intentional in listening to God's word. The first step is that we need to be intentional in listening to God's word. So I know during the summer, many people have been traveling. They've been going across, maybe to China, to other countries, or even to Florida or Hawaii, like someone who had went to a honeymoon. And when you are traveling, like you usually go by car or sometimes by plane. And what is the one thing that happens before takeoff in every flight? You get to listen to a safety instruction video or a safety instruction presentation. Now tell me, who actually pays attention to these videos or these presentations? Okay, actually some of you do. Well, good for you. But I think in reality, not a lot of people pay attention to these presentations because we've all heard the safety features before. You know, how to buckle your seatbelt, the exits are in the front and in the back, to inflate your life vest, pull on these doohickeys in front and it'll go poof. Or in case of an emergency landing, just jump off the plane or something like that. I mean, we heard all these things before, so that's why every time we go on a flight, whenever the presentation, whenever that video starts, we just zone out. We don't pay attention at all. You see people, they're still on their phones, even though they're supposed to have turned it off. You see people sleeping or reading their books. So again, the reason why they are, in other words, like dull of hearing, they're not listening to these safety instructions videos, is because they feel that they already know all the information that is there. And I feel this is sort of the same attitude that we have sometimes when we come to church. Whenever we read the Bible ourselves, or whenever we go to Sunday school, or listen to a sermon, and be like, oh man, we're talking about Adam and Eve again? I already know about that story. Oh, are we talking about Jesus' parables? I already heard all this before. I've been a Christian since I was little, and as a result, you become dull of hearing. You don't have that ability to listen anymore because you think you already know what it is. We can also become lazy or dull of hearing if we actually don't even want to listen in the first place. Because sometimes we know that whenever we read God's word and there's a truth there and God commands us to do something or God wants to correct something in our life, we don't want to be corrected. We know that we like where we are right now. We like living the lifestyle that we are in right now. So this is another reason for why we may also be dull in hearing. Because maybe we don't even want to listen in the first place. Or maybe you're in a situation where you're dull of hearing mainly because you listen partially. So maybe you only listen up when I'm talking about something interesting, or maybe something that I'm telling a story or something that you haven't heard before. Maybe that's when you start to listen up a little bit, and then after when I start talking about theology again, you just drift back off to sleep during the sermon. Maybe you're in that position. You see, this is a sign, this is one of the marks of where we can become spiritually stagnant or spiritually stuck, and we no longer grow closer to God. What are the necessary steps to grow into spiritual maturity? The first step again, be intentional in listening to God's word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says this, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." It's through listening to God's word is where you can be able to grow in your faith. And let's read on in verse 12 here. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God." So the writer goes on and tells these Jewish Christians that, you know, if you are actually listening after being a Christian for all of these years, you should actually be to the point where you're ready to teach other people. You should be knowledgeable in God's words enough to be able to teach other people so that they can also grow. But no, they're not in the case because they have been dull of hearing and they need to be reminded about the basic and the elementary doctrines of Christ again. So the call for us here is to leave these elementary doctrines and move on into maturity. Let's talk about application here concerning about being dull of hearing. So I encourage you all to not be lazy. Be intentional whenever you approach God's word so that you can grow. So don't think that just because you already know about something, you already heard this story before, that God can't teach you anything else. You know, God's love, God's word is so infinite. We can spend our whole lifetime studying God's word and doing nothing else and still having grasped everything, the completeness of who God is. There's always something that God can teach you. So whenever you read a familiar passage, don't think that you can't learn anything else. I also encourage you to really pray. Whenever you approach God's word, say in your personal Bible study time, before you do that, stop and just pray to God. Ask God to open your eyes, to open your ears so that you can be able to hear, so that you can be able to see the wonderful things that is in His law. You ask God to teach you. I don't think that we do that often enough. If we ask God to teach us, then we can actually be able to see that God will teach us, that we will actually gain something and grow closer to Him. Same thing before you start every single Sunday school. We should also say that same prayer. Pray that your Sunday school teachers will be able to teach you God's word effectively. So pray for your Sunday school teachers. Pray that God will also use them to teach you through it. And also, even right before you start the service, sometimes when we come in and the Chinese congregation goes out, you know, and you're just waiting for the service to start or waiting as the praise team starts to finish setting up, this is a good time for you to just sit there in the pews and just pray before God, to prepare your heart before the service so you could fully worship God and so that you could be fully open to hearing from God's word. I think a lot of times we just come in and we just chit-chat with one another. We need to have a level of respect for God. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4. This is Moses speaking to the Israelites while they're in Moab. Moses says this, "But to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear." In our prayers, ask God to give you the eyes to see and ask God to give you the ears to hear. So again, the first step to grow in spiritual maturity is to be intentional in listening to God's word. Then after we listen to God's word, after we complete that step, then what's the next step? What should happen next? Let's continue to read on from the end of verse 12 here. Chapter 5, verse 12. "You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child." So here the writer moves on to describe an illustration. Essentially, he's calling these Jewish Christians babies. You know, you guys are just spiritual babies. You know, infants, you know, when they are young, they don't have any teeth. They haven't developed any teeth yet. So as a result, they can't chew. You're not supposed to give a baby, like, basically, like meat or any type of solid food because they have a chance of choking. But rather, infants, they need to feed on milk. They need to feed on baby food, for that matter, too. So just as infants live on milk, the young, immature Christians talking about spiritual immaturity, are unskilled in the word of righteousness. Basically, when you are a young Christian, if you do not really know much about God's word, and you need to return to just drinking the spiritual milk. The Apostle Paul actually calls the Corinthians spiritual infants too. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2 says this, "But I," this is Paul, "brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready." So actually, this is something to think about. Your physical maturity is really different than your spiritual maturity. So think of someone who is older than you. Okay, this person, even though they're physically older than you, they can actually be less spiritually mature than you. So in other words, someone who is older than you may be a spiritual infant, while on the other hand, you are a spiritual adult. So age, your physical age, does not determine your spiritual maturity. Just because you have been a Christian for such a long time doesn't necessarily mean that you are more mature spiritually than someone else who has only been a Christian, like maybe for a few months. They actually may have grown a lot faster and a lot more than you in your long time. So where are you in your spiritual maturity? Are you just living on milk and taking on just the basics of the Gospels and not going deeper in your understanding of God's Word? Well then, how do we move on? How do we move on to solid food and be more spiritually mature in the advanced aspects of the faith? We'll see how we can do that as we read on in verse 14 here. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So merely accomplishing the step of listening to God's word isn't enough. There's a second step that is here as we take on the solid food. Those who take on solid food and are more spiritually mature are those who repeatedly practice to understand and apply God's word. They need to repeatedly and constantly practice to understand and apply God's word. And by doing so, we can have discernment. Okay, this word discernment means to know the difference between good and evil, to know the difference between right and wrong. As Christians, it's so important for us to have that discernment, because in this world, there are a lot of things that will try to lead you in other directions, things that are contrary to what Scripture says, things that are contrary to the truth. It's important that we need to have this discernment between right and wrong, and we do so by constantly applying and understanding God's word. So let's answer the question again. What are the necessary steps to grow into spiritual maturity? Here is step number two. We need to constantly practice what you hear from God's word for discernment. We need to constantly practice what you hear from God's word for discernment. Actually, I encourage everyone to get a notebook and to have this notebook dedicated for church and dedicated for your Bible reading. So when you are in Sunday school, when you are doing your personal reading, or when you're here in the sermon, you should use this notebook to take notes. And when I preach, I make it easy for you to take notes. Usually, I give one question and I give three statements that answers that question, or however many, depending on what the text brings us. So I make it easy for everyone to take notes. And when you take notes, you can be able to also think about, okay, here is the statement of truth. What is God telling me to do? How does God want me to apply this in my life? So let's say, for example, the truth is that God wants us to love one another. Okay, so you may say, okay, I want to apply this truth by loving my siblings. But you see, we don't want to make broad statements like that. Like, don't just say, oh, I'm just going to love my sibling more. But how specifically should you love your sibling? Maybe you say, oh, maybe this week I will go out and I'll buy them a gift or something to show that I love them. So that is an example of something that is specific after applying God's word and applying the truth that you learn. And when you have this notebook that's with you, you can constantly look back into it to remind yourself what God has taught you so that you can consistently learn to apply it in your life. See, sometimes we may also feel that we are spiritually stagnant or spiritually stuck, not necessarily because we aren't listening to God's word. I think some of us are very good at paying attention and we want to learn, but everything that comes in is just information. It's just knowledge. But we don't move beyond that. After gaining that knowledge and truth from God, we need to apply it. We need to seek to understand it. This is a consistent practice that should happen throughout our whole life. Maybe you may feel that you are spiritually stagnant and spiritually stuck because you aren't actively applying God's word. Finally, I believe that there is one more step that we needed to take And I think this is one of the most important steps in this whole process of growing spiritually in Christ. Because we can do the first two steps. We can listen to God's word. We can constantly apply God's word in life and practice doing so. But if we don't do this third step, then the first two steps will be ineffective. So let's see what that third step is. Let us read from verse 1 in chapter 6. Moving on. The writer says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying against the foundation of repentance and of dead works and of faith towards God." See, the writer here says that we need to move on into maturity. We shouldn't be happy with the current state that we are in right now. You know, there is always an opportunity for us to grow closer and closer to God. And it says here that, you know, these Jewish Christians, they shouldn't be laying down the same foundation of repentance. So in my neighborhood, I noticed that there is a new set of, basically a new neighborhood that's being built, some new houses that are being built. And every time I drive by, I always see like some progress that is being made on a particular house. So let's say, what if I drive by a certain house that's being built and I see that, oh, the foundation is just there. And then maybe a couple days later, I look, nothing has been done. The same foundation is there. Maybe a week later, I see that the foundation is gone. Wait, what happened here? A couple of weeks later, the foundation is back again. But a couple of months later, like, there's still no progress in the house. I mean, usually houses can be built pretty quickly. So if we as Christians are just relaying down the same foundation, it's almost as if this builder is just laying down a foundation on a house, takes it down, and then later on just builds the same foundation again, over and over again. So nothing is actually built on top of that foundation. See, the writer here talks about this foundation as being the basic knowledge of Christ, knowing that through faith in Jesus Christ that we can be saved, and not by our own works. It's by grace through faith. So this truth, if that's all we know, and that's good, that's important, that is the whole crux of the Christian faith. But if that's all you know and you don't build upon that, then it's the same thing as just relaying down the same foundation of a house. So there's a call for us, there's a call for these Jewish Christians to move beyond these elementary doctrines of Christ and to move on into maturity. But what does that look like? What does that actually mean? Verse 1 again, "Therefore let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity." You know, this phrase, go on into maturity, is actually a Greek verb, and this verb is basically in the passive voice. So when we talk about the passive voice, it really means, in other words, that you have to allow God, or let yourselves be carried on into maturity. So the emphasis is more on allowing God to do that work in you and not necessarily your own work and your own effort. And this is also emphasized again in verse 3. Look what it says here. "And this we will do if God permits." So again, the emphasis here is that our spiritual growth is not dependent on mainly and solely what we can do and how we can do to try to change ourselves, but is solely dependent on how God can work in our life. Let's answer a question. What are the necessary steps to grow into spiritual maturity? Here's step number 3. And as mentioned, this is the most important step. We need to depend solely on God for our spiritual growth. We need to depend solely on God for our spiritual growth. This morning, as I was driving into church today, I was actually a little bit afraid because I was running very, very low on gas. And it was actually low on gas last night too, but I was kind of too lazy to go stop and put gas in. And I didn't want to do it this morning because then I would be late for church as well. So actually currently my car still doesn't have that much gas in it. But we may know how to drive a car. Okay, you know how to steer the steering wheel, you know how to use the handbrakes, you know how to obey the traffic signs and the traffic lights, and you know how to navigate the streets. But all of that is pointless if you don't have any gas in your car. It is the gas in your car that drives the car forward. So likewise, we as Christians, we can do all the right things. We can, concerning our spiritual growth, we can listen to God's word, we can receive the knowledge, the truth, and the information, and we could actively try to apply it in our lives and understand it in our lives. But the main source of our spiritual growth comes down to God. We need to depend on God. God is the gas in our car. God is the main source of our power and our strength to be able to move forward and grow spiritually. We can't do anything apart from God. So an application for us today is, do not be self-sufficient. Don't think that it's only by what I can do that I can be able to be sufficient and grow mature. Do you have this constant dependence on God, or do you depend more on yourself? And also at the same time, do we pray for our own spiritual growth? So earlier I asked us that we need to pray to God to give us eyes and to give us the ears to listen to his word. So that's also emphasis on how much we need to depend on God. Do we pray for our own spiritual growth? Do we actually pray for the spiritual growth of others in the church? You know, God gave us each other as brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can be in communion with one another, so that we can encourage one another towards love and good works and to grow closer to God. We as a Christian community should be doing that. This is actually very similar to the parable of the growing seed in Mark chapter 4, where there was a man who plants seeds into the ground, and then the next morning he sees that the seed has sprouted and has grown, and he doesn't know how that has happened. Just that it is like that this man, he can be able to water the plant, he can be able to provide good fertilizer with it, but he can't physically do anything to cause that plant to grow, because that work is God. God is the one who causes that growth in your life as well too. So let us review everything that we've learned in this passage. We'd answer the question, what are the necessary steps to grow into spiritual maturity? And I said that there were three steps. The first step is that we need to be intentional in listening to God's word. The second step is that we need to constantly practice what we hear from God's word so that we can have this discernment between good and evil and right and wrong. And finally, the third step, the most important step, is that we need to depend solely on God for spiritual growth. You see here, isn't it hopeful to know that God has already provided us with a solution? God has already provided us with a way for us to overcome any type of spiritual stagnancy, any type of spiritual stuck, so that we can grow into maturity. If you feel that you are not growing, and maybe you feel like you're just like a spiritual infant or a spiritual baby, again, there is hope. Do not be lazy when you're dealing with God's word. I think mainly laziness is the one of the main things that causes us to not grow in Christ anymore, or even to backslide and eventually even leave the faith. We should have this concern for one another when we see someone being lazy in their faith, or just we see them backsliding. So pray for them. But most importantly, do you believe that God has the power to really to work in your life and to transform you into the man, into the woman that he wants you to be? I believe that God can. The God that we believe in is the God of all creation. He's the one who created the universe. He's the one who created you. He's the one who loves you and knows every single thing about you. Whatever trials you go through, whatever struggles that you have in your life, our God knows it all. And what good and loving father wouldn't care about his children, wouldn't prepare a solution, wouldn't prepare a way for his children to be able to grow in the relationship with him? This is the God that we believe in. Do you trust that God can be able to help you grow closer to him? And do you trust that God can be able to save you? And I believe that you should. You can trust in God. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Thank you again for teaching us through your word. Lord, we pray that you will remind us every time we go before you in your word to pray. Your word is powerful. Your word speaks to us. Father, I pray that you will constantly give us this hope that we can be able to overcome anything in this life through faith in you. Father, please forgive us when we have turned away from you. Forgive us when we think that we can just go our own way and be so self-sufficient. When we come to realize that, Lord, we really need you. Without you, this life is meaningless. This life is pointless. Thank you that you have shown us the way through your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can have eternal life as we repent of our sins, as we put our faith in your Son, Jesus. Lord, and it is my prayer that we as a church will continue to encourage one another to grow closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. And may we respond in worship, knowing that you are God who is mighty to save. We lift up all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.